Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord. This is Macedonia Call around the globe. We're so glad to be with you tonight and so glad you decided to join us as well. And we're coming to you from Springboro, Ohio, and we're just glad this is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Praise the Lord. And at this moment, I want you to call in and be a part of the broadcast at 347-989-8862. Again, that is if you want to call in and share a prayer request or a testimony or even help us preach. Praise God. The phone number is 347-989-8862. And tonight's subject is we're going to go with No One Can Pluck You Out of the Hand of God. And however you want to go with that is we go with the King James Version Bible only. And right at this moment, we're going to have Rachel come in, and she's going to read her scripture. Praise the Lord.
And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
Praise God. We thank the Lord for her. She's 10 years old, and just thank God. And you know, we've got prayer requests, and I want to take a moment here and a little Will. We have been asking. He's a two-year-old cousin of mine, and he has been battling a tumor on his brain for a long time, I think, there. And the doctors have given him up. They have said they have done all they can do, but we serve a great big God, and the Lord can take care of little Will. And he's on a ventilator. They have taken the feeding tube out the day before yesterday. That was Wednesday, and we're going to go see him tomorrow. And we've asked on Facebook if people would just take through the night and pray. Take 30 minutes is all we're asking. And we're going to try to start a prayer chain to go all night long and pray for little Will. And it's a sad time here at Christmas time for, I'm sure, for Danny Lee and the mom there. Just remember them. And I know there's many more prayer requests, but I just wanted to mention that and make sure that we pray about that. There's all kind of requests and that's coming in for him. My cousin Zachary Bragg, he says, pray for the family, please. Josh Moore. He says, pray for him. He was rear-ended by a drunk driver last night. He says he's okay. He's a little sore, but remember him in prayer. My cousin Mike Bragg, that's Zach's dad, Zach Bragg, we're all, Mike Bragg is the uncle to little Will, and Mike Bragg and I are first cousins. So this is my personal family. I'm asking for your prayer. We want to acknowledge the callers tonight. 423, come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
Hello, this is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood down here in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord, Brother Yearwood. Glad you called in there and appreciate you guys. And we feel kind of scattered tonight. There's a lot going on in our personal life, but you know we got to keep on going on for the Lord, and that's what this is all about. And our subject tonight again is no one can pluck you out of the hand of God. And we're turning in prayer requests right now, Brother Yearwood. Do you and Sister Betty have any prayer requests?
Yeah, we got a few of them here.
Okay, you want to share them or you want to wait until you preach?
I'll just wait and let Betty go. I'll just go ahead and let Betty share them right now.
Okay.
We have 5 kids that are in need of salvation. Beecher Bowers, a man that goes to our church, his wife had a stroke and she needs God. She says there is no God. And Catherine, the lady that got saved at our church a few months back, the devil's attacked her and she's about to have a nervous breakdown, so remember her. And she's also got that baby that still has needs, so just remember that baby in your prayers. And
yeah.
Fred Brennan, Keith Green, and Edith Hampton all have cancer. Remember them, and remember Brother Bob Hicks. He is doing a little bit better, so just remember all of them.
Amen.
And remember little Kyle tonight.
Amen. Bless his heart. If you guys don't mind, add little Will. His name is Will Reeder. R-E-I.
Yeah, I've got him on here right now.
Yeah, we done wrote his name down. Our Tim's telling us about it there.
Okay.
So we done wrote it on our prayer list there.
Thank you so much. I know the family is just devastated, and it's just so sad. Looks like Brother John might be caller 770-584. Is that you, Brother John?
Yeah, that's me, Sister Green.
Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Brother. Tell us where you're located there.
We're located in Thomason, Georgia, and we just praise the Lord that the opportunity to be on the broadcast with all of you tonight.
Amen. If you have any prayer requests, Brother, go right ahead.
Okay, I did receive one tonight. God's really been moving and been answering prayer in our areas, and I just praise the Lord for that. There's a young boy that we learned that has severe autism tonight, and I'm not really sure what his name is, but it's just, this is remembering him. Actually, my one son and his wife, they've taken on 4 foster children right now besides their own children, so just really just lift them up in prayer and just remember them because these foster children have been tossed. You know how their lives are disrupted, so especially at this time. But God is moving upon their lives, so we just praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Praise God. Okay. Brother Yearwood, are you ready to go ahead and obey the Lord?
Yeah, I could. Or just go ahead and let Brother John go ahead there first.
Okay. Brother John, are you ready? We're doing the same thing that we did on Brother Yearwood's broadcaster. Or however the Lord leads you, Brother, you go right with whatever subject really that you want to.
Praise the Lord. God, praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm ready. God was dealing with me as we learned that no man truly, as Sister Ray talked about in the scriptures there, no man can pluck us out of the hand of God. God began to deal with me out of Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13 and starting with verse 1. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both a man and a beast, is mine. And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall be no living bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month of Abib." You know, I was talking about here that the Lord spoken to the prophet Moses. And he told him, he said, "Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, all those that are the firstborn. Set them apart. Make them holy." Amen. He says, "Whosoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both a man and a beast, is mine." He proclaimed and declared, amen, hallelujah, that all those that were firstborn were set apart and sanctified holy unto him. All firstborn. And this is what represents of the Lord Jesus Christ, even as his son was the firstborn and begotten of the dead, as he was the resurrection. Tonight we have that opportunity, amen, that as we are born again, we cannot see this kingdom, amen, hallelujah, but except we be born into it. The Lord Jesus Christ began to speak as Nicodemus spoke and came to him in John chapter 3. We find, amen, that we must be born into this kingdom. We're born into this kingdom to a place of holiness under the Lord Jesus Christ, under the Father, and we belong to the Father. He said, "They are mine." But at this time, amen, you have to understand that the children of Israel were in bondage, amen, according to the scriptures. Amen. In fact, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 1 that they were in bitter bondage. They began to, amen, to build the cities for Pharaoh, Ramses, and Python, and many cities, amen, were built. Amen. Amen for the world. Amen. There had been a time, amen, that they would go into captivity for 450 years. And amen. And these are the children of the seed of Abraham. There was a promise that was given unto Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 15 that there would be a land, amen, flowing with milk and honey that he would receive and his seed would possess this land. And as it came in, amen, as they went in, there this would be a sign that they would be in bitter bondage. Many of you might know the story how the children of Israel went into Egypt, amen, and how they were there, amen, and how Joseph, amen, was, amen, overseen, and there was a famine, and a great famine in the land, and by the gift of the dream of interpretation of Joseph, that being a child, amen, of God, and being sold by his brothers, and going into the pit, and then going into Potiphar's house, and then going into the prison, and then being released. You have to understand that, amen, that even at the time there he come and he raised up, amen, and all men come to him, amen, and as God, the Bible says, a man's gift shall bring before great men, and as the hand of God was upon Joseph, and the hand of God was upon the children of Israel, and they rose up, and amen, there was a time, unfortunately, that, hallelujah, that they no longer knew. A Pharaoh rose up, amen, and hallelujah, they did not know, amen, Joseph, did not know the realm, and amen, had forgotten, amen, what Joseph had done, amen, for Egypt, and not only for Egypt, but those of the world, even for his own, amen, his kinsfolk, and when they had come, amen, and they saw the blessings, amen, the children of the world began to see the blessings in the hand of God, amen, and being in the hand of God, and they rose up, and these ones that were enslaved, that were in bondage, amen, were growing. And so they began to put them in even in bitter bondage. And Moses was sent back to them, amen. Moses was, amen, was one who had been drawn out of the water. Even as the persecution had come against the children of Israel, they were in the hand of God because there was a decree that went forth that they were to kill, amen. They were told and instructed, amen, to every male child that was born of the Hebrew women that they were to be destroyed. Hallelujah. But God's hand, amen, they were in the hand of God. And even as it says in Isaiah, he says, "I've engraven thee in the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me." This one called Moses, this child, amen, was born and put in the water, amen, by his mother. In fact, his name means he was drawn out of the water. And he was a prophet who would be raised up. And there was a prophecy that was spoken, amen, that there would be a prophet likened unto him. And that prophet was the Lord Jesus Christ among his brethren that would speak and deliver the people. We find tonight, amen, that as he come and he
excuse me, that as he was a Hebrew drawn out of the water, amen, and Pharaoh's daughter found him, and amen, he was brought into the Pharaoh's house. He knew the Pharaoh's way, and they went and got his own natural mother to nurture him and to nurse him. And so he was raised up in the Pharaoh's house, but there was a time that he was raised up and would leave, amen. He knew of his heritage. He knew who he was. Tonight, we need to know who we are in Christ tonight. Tonight, we need to know, amen, that we belong to him and are set apart and sanctified, even as it talks about here. And the Bible says, amen, as he went, and there was a time, amen, that he come in between, amen, an Egyptian and a Jew, amen, rose up, and he come, and he killed an Egyptian, amen. And then when he come, and two of his brethren, amen, were fighting, and he began to be a mediator between them, but they was known, amen, and he fled for his life out of Egypt, fled for his life out of Pharaoh's house. And what ended up there, he went on the backside of a desert, and he began to have a flock, amen, and amen, he was watching the flock of Jethro, his Midianite priest, his father-in-law, and on the backside of a desert, amen, and some of you underneath the sound of my voice tonight, you are in a circumstances and situation that you've been running for your life, but even when you were running for your life, hallelujah, you were in the hand of God, because no man can put thee out of the hand of the Father, who is greater than I, he said, the Lord said, no man can pluck you out of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. We find tonight, amen, that all the time that Moses was in the hand of God, amen, when he's in the hand of God, and some of you underneath the sound of my voice, think because you're on the backside of a desert, that the hand of God is no longer on you, or you're no longer in the hand of God, but that's not true. Tonight, even when you're in the midst of the darkness, even when you're in the midst of the wasteland, even when you're in the midst of the wilderness, you're still in the hand of God, and hallelujah, and God spoke unto him out of the bush, oh man, amen, on the backside of a desert, and he said, go unto them and tell them to let my people go. Go and speak to the Pharaoh, because Pharaoh believed at that time that they were in the hand of Pharaoh, that he was deemed the God of the land, amen. Many times, amen, Herod thought he was the only king of Jerusalem. When the wise men come seeking, amen, another, the king of the Jews, amen, he didn't know of any other king. When they come, amen, and talked about Caesar and him being a king, the Bible speaks of another king. I'm talking tonight about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as they were come and brought into bitter bondage, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 1, but we get here in Exodus chapter 13, amen, and for those of you who need to know the story, there was plagues that come upon Egypt at that time. And all of them, amen, and one of them was the plague of the firstborn, that there was a time that the plague of death would come, amen, unto the land of Egypt, and going into the land of Goshen, amen, and what the children of Israel would do, that for each household, they would kill a lamb, and the blood of the lamb would be put, amen, upon the doorpost of that house, and when the angel of death came by, amen, if he saw the blood, it would pass over, amen, and when the death of the firstborn came upon Egypt, amen, everyone, either man and beast, the children of Egypt, amen, every one of the firstborn died. But when it came to the children of Israel, there in the land of Goshen, they were all covered by the blood. And you need to know tonight that when you're covered by the blood of the Lamb, you are in the hands of God, and no man can take you out. No man can catch you up. Not even death can take you out. Amen. Hallelujah. For he that believes in him shall not see death or not taste death. So as we come there, we find, amen, that they have been delivered out. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's been declared to let his people go. And the God spoke to him here in chapter 13. And he told him, he said, remember this day that you came out of Egypt, there, verse 3. Out of the house of bondage, for by the strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came you out of the month of Abib. They had actually two calendars. They had a sacred calendar and a civil calendar. Abib was the first month in the sacred calendar, the seventh month in the civil calendar. And that's the teaching now. I'll just leave that alone right now, because we're going down to verse 5. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which will swear unto thy fathers to give thee a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. In other words, in the month of Abib, you shall keep, amen, the feast of the Passover. You shall keep, amen, and eat no leavened bread. In other words, bread, amen, that's been put with the yeast, cause it to rise up. And the Bible says, verse 6, 7 days, thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast unto the Lord. On the seventh day, you are feasting. Hallelujah. And this, amen, your life is to be a feast unto the Lord. And they were to eat, amen, this was the feast of the Passover lamb, and they were to eat for 7 days unleavened bread. In other words, bread that had no yeast, bread that has no rising in it, bread that, amen, that was not touched by the world. You have to understand tonight that the Bible says that a little leaven the whole lump. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and 7 and 8, it talks about, amen, that you are to purge yourselves from these. Because the Bible says, hallelujah, the leaven, amen, it talks about in Matthew chapter 16, hallelujah, was the doctrine of the Pharisees. A little leaven, in other words, leavens the whole lump. In other words, what it does is a little thing to the world, the little sins, the little foxes. The Bible says in Songs of Solomon 2:15, take unto us the foxes, the little foxes, for our vine has tender grapes. Amen. They spoil, the little foxes spoil the vine. That vine was Israel. That vine was Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 15. He said, I am my father is a husbandman, and I am the true vine, and ye are the branches. Church, tonight you need to know, amen. Some of us say it's all right for a little sin. No, it's not. Because a little sin will cause a whole lot of sin. A little sin, hallelujah, will go throughout the whole body. You need to know, not to know tonight, that you have no room in the bread of sincerity and truth. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, that we are to eat the bread of the Passover, and that's not it's the unleavened bread. And the Bible says in verse 7, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall be no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. In other words, you shall have nothing in your life that will cause a rising up in your life. Nothing in your bread, nothing that you're partaking of in your life. Not only shall it not be seen in you, it shall not even be in your house. Church tonight, amen, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Tonight you have no place for leavened bread in your life or in your quarters, because these are the things, this represents the things of the world. This represents doctrine, amen, a strange doctrine. This represents the little foxes. This represents the little sin. The Bible says sin lies at the door. We need to know tonight that we don't need to open the door to sin to our lives. We don't need to come over there because of, amen, the bread of sincerity. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and thou shalt sow thy son, verse 8, in that day. Hallelujah. Saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. You need to know, amen, hallelujah, that when they would do the feast of the Passover, that they would let no leaven in their bread, and that for 7 days there would be no yeast. Nothing could cause it to rise up, but it would rise up of itself. In other words, the bread, amen, you would rise up in a resurrecting power because you are covered by the blood, because you are in the hands of God, because you are his sheep tonight. And the Bible says, and it shall be for a sign unto thee, in other words, a miraculous sign upon thy hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Hallelujah. Pharaoh said, I don't know this Lord. Hallelujah. Why should I yield unto him? But tonight you need to know that there's a Lord out there, and his name is Jesus, and his name's above every name. Amen. And no man can pluck you out of the hand of God. Amen. And tonight you can make a choice. Amen. You can make a choice to live in the hand of God. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Tonight there's a living God. Amen. And his hands are hands of compassion. His hands are hands of mercy and grace. Hallelujah. You need need to know tonight that the Bible says, hallelujah, in Psalms, I believe it's Psalm 37, hallelujah, hallelujah, it talks about, amen, let me turn over there to Psalm 37 for a moment, hallelujah, the Bible says in Psalms 37, starting with verse 29, says the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Remember what he said? He said when you come to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites, these were the land, these were Canaanite tribes, and nations, amen, of the descendants of Canaan, who was the descendant of Ham, who was the descendant of Noah, amen, and they would come when the time of the revelation. Amen. And that's some other thing that I'll leave that alone because there's some teaching. Amen. Amen. That is the path of life. But we'll just come back to where we're at here. Amen. But there was a promise given unto Abraham that in that land that's flowing with milk and honey. That land, amen, the Bible says in 1 Peter, desire the sincere milk of the world that ye may grow thereby. Amen. This was a land that was drawn from the rest. Hey, you shall teach knowledge by his prophet Isaiah. He said, those that are weaned from the breast. In other words, you desire the sincere milk. Milk represents nourishment and drawing from the very breast and the bosom. Amen. Of love. Amen. And oh, hallelujah, there was nothing sweeter than honey. This was the land that was flowing with the sweetness of God. And God wants to bring you to a place of promise tonight, church. He wants to bring you into the very hand, his hand, that you might abide in the hand of the shadow of the Almighty. And the Bible says the Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. You need to know tonight, amen, that even judgment, there's no condemnation. Romans 8, chapter 1, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There's no judgment when you are in the hands of God, covered by the blood of Jesus. He said, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Don't be envious of the worker of iniquity, the Bible says. Fret not thyself, amen. Don't arouse your anger. Some of you are envious of the things of the wicked. You're seeing the way. But let me prophesy to you tonight. They shall soon be cut off as the grass. Don't be, amen, desire to be in their vineyard. Don't desire to be in the fields of the transgressor tonight. Because I'm telling you right now, they're going to be as the grass. And they'll be cut off. Hallelujah. And tonight you have a place in Jesus Christ in the hands of God that you cannot be taken. He said, I have seen the wicked great in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Verse 36, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yet I sought him, but I could not be found. The Bible says in Isaiah 41, amen, though you seek for him, you shall not find him. For your enemy shall be confounded and be as nothing. Hallelujah. He said, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God will uphold you so high, amen, in his hand. You'll not be able to see your enemy. Why? Because your enemy will be underneath his feet. You'll be lifted up in the hands of God. You'll be lifted up by the hand of right tonight, because tonight the children of God are sitting at the right hand of the Father, as Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand, amen, ever interceding for you right now. And as he, you and the Father, him and the Father is one, we have the opportunity tonight to be one with him. To him that overcome, Jesus declared in his word, that to him that overcome will I grant the sin of my throne, as I sit down in my Father's throne. He said, who the Lord said in his Lord, come and sit, amen, amen, by my side, until I make all thy enemies underneath thy feet. Amen. We are sitting at the footstool at the hand of God, and we are on the hand of God tonight. And we need to know, amen, that his right hand, the Bible says in Psalm 16:11, in his presence is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures evermore. He will show you the path of life. And the Bible said, amen. Mark the perfect man and behold it upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. For he is their strength in time of trouble. You need to know tonight that when you're in trouble, God is your strength. By the strength of his hand, that's what he said in Exodus 13. Their strength is in his hand tonight, and the Lord will help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Hallelujah. Do you trust in him tonight? Do you believe in him tonight? God has brought you out of your bender bondage and redeemed you. The Bible says, going back to Exodus chapter 13 and verse 10, thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time and a season for all purposes. It goes down in those first, I think the first 11 verses. But you know what? This is the time, church, to keep the feast of the Passover. This is the time and the season to apply the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to the door of your life. Hallelujah. Because death, when it sees the blood, when it sees the blood of the Lamb, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, now has come the power of his Christ and the kingdom of his God, because the Bible says that Satan, the accuser of the brethren, the accuser of those that are believing, accused them day and night, said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he's been cast down. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And when he was cast down, amen, now came the power of his Christ. Amen. And they overcome him by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives to the death. They lay down their life. Church, will you lay down your life? Will you give your life, amen, as a sacrifice? Amen. Unto a living sacrifice. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, the Apostle Paul, writing to the believers at Rome, that you present yourself a living sacrifice. God doesn't want a dead sacrifice tonight. He needs a living sacrifice, living, breathing. Amen. Hallelujah. Holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. He sanctifies you when you offer up your own life, not in death, but in laying down your life. Hallelujah. He that loses his life shall find it. Amen. It is better to lose your life in this life to gain life and eternal life. Amen. If you are first in this life, you'll be last in the afterlife. If you're last in this life, you'll be first in the afterlife. It's in eternal. We have there's two resurrections in the afterlife. There's a resurrection of damnation and a resurrection of the just tonight. Which one will you be a part of? You have to have the blood of the Christ, and you have to be in the hand of God, because you have to be his child. The Bible says in his season from year to year. Some of you, amen, would even be weary. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. For thou shalt reap in due season if thou faint not. Continue. But don't look back. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Luke, whosoever looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. We have been destined, amen, to put our hand to the plow together. We are the workers together in the vineyard of our Lord. This plow is not heavy because each and every one of it. Multitudes upon multitudes tonight are putting their hands to the plow, amen, and looking and not looking back. Multitudes and multitudes are planting. Giving the increase tonight. You're not in your situation. You're not in your circumstance. You're not in your sorrow tonight alone. There's a whole body of Christ. Let me tell you tonight, hallelujah, some of you thought you're like an Elijah, seeming like you're the only one serving the Lord in your area. Let me tell you something. God has reserved 7,000 and not bowed their knee to Baal. All across this world tonight, they have not bowed their knee to the Baal. And amen, the rulers of darkness tonight, amen, but the only one that they have bowed to is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a remnant. He has a reservation tonight. Amen. Are you a part of that remnant that's without number tonight? Are you a part of that bride that's without spot or wrinkle? It comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Let our sins be as red as crimson. They shall be as white as snow when you're in the hand of the Lord. And the Bible says in verse 11, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee unto the land of the Canaanites, and swear, as he swear unto thee and to thy fathers, he shall give it to thee. That thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that open in the matrix and every firstling that cometh of the beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. All of those shall be holy unto the Lord. Amen. And every firstling of an ass that thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And they will be redeemed with a lamb. Each one that's brought forth, each one. And if thou will not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shall out redeem. All the Redeemer lives. That's what Job said. He said, my Redeemer lives. Does your Redeemer live? Do you have the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Are you declaring? The Bible says, let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. Because tonight you're in the hand of God. You've been brought out of your bondage. You've been brought out of your circumstance. You've been brought out of your addictions. You've been brought out of your sin. Hallelujah. Tonight by the blood of the Lamb. Because you've been in the hand of God. And no man can pluck you out of his hand. And the Bible says, and I read verse 14, and it shall be when I said, asketh thee in time to come. saying, what is this that thou shalt say unto him? By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being milled, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. Church, tonight, God wants to redeem you into his hands. He wants to bring you out of your Egypt. He wants to bring you out of your bondage. He wants to bring you out of your bitterness tonight and walking into the loving hands of God. Tonight, no man, nothing shall separate you from the love of God, neither height nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. But tonight, you have the opportunity right now to be in the hands of a loving God. Will you take that opportunity? And you can live in there forever if you'll just receive him as the Lord Jesus Christ. He will fill you with his spirit, and it'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Tonight, is there any other place to be but in the hands of the Lord? It's up to you, because he's had his hand stretched out still to gainsaying and disobedient people. Go ahead, Brother and Sister Green.
Praise God. Brother John's telling you the truth. If that's you tonight, you need to give your heart to the Lord, and nothing can pluck you out of the hand of God except for you. And we want to recognize some more prayer requests here. And remember, Gladys Dittmer, she's usually with us. She is in Ohio here. She's visiting with her family for the holidays, for Christmas. And she says, pray for Trevor Finch for safety, a young married couple, a young married couple's marriage, and also pray for her ministry. Praise the Lord. And also Tina Signa, please pray. She said first she has a testimony that she did. Sorry, I'm just reading this here for my first time as well. She got approved for disability. She's thanking the Lord. Praise the Lord. She's been in a lot of pain, so remember that. And she has a lot of prayer requests. I'll read it here probably in just a moment. But I was wanting to know if Brother Timothy could, if he would have a prayer request, or if he would have a song for us tonight. Before we get him to sing that song, I want to have 937-520 come in and tell us who you are and where you're located.
Brother Josh Moore from Dayton, Ohio.
Praise God, Brother Josh. We just turned in prayer requests for you, brother, before you got on here about that accident that you had last night. You're okay, right?
Yeah, actually, I just wanted to get on here and say thank you guys for the prayers. I'm actually in the ER right now getting checked out for minor injuries, but it could have been a lot worse. I could have been killed. The enemy is surely trying to take me out, but I just wanted to say thanks, everybody, for the prayers and everything.
Amen. Let's pray right now, brother, while we have you on the phone, okay? Did they call you back yet?
Now, I'm just waiting on the results of my x-rays.
Okay, Lord, let's pray right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we ask that you touch Brother Josh, dear God. You see, Lord God, what he needs, Lord, in his body. We're touching from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, dear God. Lord, work this all out for your glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord.
Could have been mad, God, but you turned
other driver. And
Lord, we give you the praise.
Help Brother Josh, the vehicle, Lord, any financial loss, dear God. And help him restore the vehicle, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, praise you. We thank you, Lord, for doing it. God, we're believing in a good report on that x-ray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Josh, for calling in. And we turned in a prayer request as well for a cousin of mine. He's 2 years old, and doctors said they've done all they can do. And he's 2 years old, and they said he has a brain tumor. It is cancer. And he's on a ventilator, and he was taken off the feeding tube on Wednesday, so he hasn't eaten now in 3 days. So you all please lift him up in prayer and tell Brother and Sister Warnock there at your church, okay?
I sure will.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Brother Yearwood, is Brother Timothy ready for our song?
Yeah, he's ready.
Praise God. Have him come on in, brother, and then you go ahead and obey the Lord.
Okay. Praise God.
Sometimes I think I'm in control, and I act so foolishly. Facing problems on my own, I don't know what's best for me. My mistakes are constant.
To keep me in your reach.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful song there. So you want me to just go ahead now, Sister Green?
Amen, brother. Yearwood, go right ahead.
Okay. Well, we appreciate the opportunity to be able to come back once again on the radio just to tell somebody the good news. You know, I'm just sitting here and thinking, you know, about that small baby. You know, seems like the doctors have done all that they know to do and all they can do. But, you know, I read in the Word of God where that there was a lady that had a blood issue for 12 long years. And she spent every dime that she ever had to the doctors and physicians and only growing worse. And, you know, she said, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And, you know, that's all we need to do tonight is just to touch the hem of his garment for that baby, and God can reach down and touch that baby wherever that it's at right now and heal it and make it whole. And, you know, that's a lot of times I think that we just have to get to the place to realize that the doctors have done all they can do, then that's when God likes to step in and prove himself and show himself that he is God. And, you know, we ain't going to give up no hopes. We're going to keep our faith and our trust in that baby that it's going to be healed, and God's going to touch it, and God's going to heal it and make it whole. So just believe in God for that. So if you got your Bibles, why don't you turn with us tonight to John, the 10th chapter. And we're going to start in verse 23 there and go down through about 29. But, you know, the subject is that no man can pluck you out of God's hand. You know, no man can pluck you out of God's hand, but you can pluck yourself out anytime you want to. And, you know, whenever you do, you know, that reminds me of Luke 9:62 over there. It says, no man put his hand to the plow and looketh back is fit for the kingdom of God. So, you know, I tell you, it's a time that we need to know that we can walk with God and that we can go with God and we can go and not have to worry about nobody plucking us out of his hand. But we can pluck ourselves out. So I'm going to let Betty do some reading here for me.
We're going to start in John 10:23. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. And I said unto you, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my thy hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand.
Amen. Now, you know, I want us to look back up far into 25. It said, Jesus said, Jesus answered them and told you, and ye believe not the works that I do in my Father's name. They hear, they bear witness of me. You know, we look around here and we think a little bit about Jesus here. He's telling them there, he told them over there, he said, now look, believe me for the very work's sake, he tells us in the 14th chapter of St. John. And you know, I tell you what, we can believe the works that we see that Jesus done because he done this because of the Father. He tells us there in one place, he said, These works that I do, you shall even do greater than these, because I've gone unto the Father. And, you know, tonight that's what we need to realize, that we need to believe the works that we see in God's Word. We need to know that Jesus is still telling us the Word. We need to know that He said there in the 26th verse, He said, "But ye believe not, because ye believe not my sheep, as I said unto you." You know, praise God. Let's see, let me read that again. "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." You know, Jesus' sheep, they're going to believe what He said and the works that He done. And, you know, I tell you what, there's so many today don't want to believe the works that God has sent His Son to do. Jesus said there in one place, He said, "These works, He said, I only do what I see that my Father's done." And my friend, tonight, that's all that we can believe is what we see of our Father and what He has done and what our elder brother Jesus has done. These works that we do, they're going to bear witness of Jesus. If they're not bearing witness of Jesus, then we're not of the shepherd. We're not of the right fold. But praise God, I'm glad tonight that there are a few people that still believe the works that they see of the Father, and that they see of the Word. There in 27, it said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You know, praise God. We know the voice of the Lord. We know His voice when we hear it. And praise God, I'm glad tonight to know that He told me down here in verse 28. He said, "I give unto you, unto them, eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." You know, praise God. I'm glad tonight to know that there's no man can pluck us out of the Lord's hand. There's nobody can take you out tonight, my friend, but you. You can take yourself out any time that you want to. Just like over there in, I believe in, over in Exodus over there where Moses was there. He got anger, and God told him, God's going to blot out their names. And Moses said, "If you're going to blot their names out, then blot mine out also." And he said, "I'll not blot out their name that do my will, but them that don't do it, I will blot them out." My friend, tonight, we'll do the will of our Father. God will not blot our name out, and nobody else can take it out. But praise God, I'm glad tonight to know that we can hold on, and we can go on with the Lord. I look in verse 29. It said, "My Father, which give them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I'm glad tonight to know, I praise God, that there's no one is able to pluck us out of God's hand. I believe tonight that He writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life to stay there. I believe that He puts it there to stay there, my friend. But if we turn around and if we do the sins of this world, if we be a friend of this world, then we're an enemy of God. We've got to realize that we've got to be a friend of God. We've got to be His sheep. We've got to walk uprightly before Him. We've got to hear His voice and know His voice. My sheep know my voice, and strangers they'll not follow. I want us to look into John 10 and verse 4 and verse 5. Praise God. Hallelujah. And verse 4 it says, "And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know, I want to say this. This reminds me of a time that we were living in Tunnel Hill, Georgia. We lived right straight across a farm, right straight across the road from a sheep farm there. The man had several hundred sheep, and they got out one day, and I looked out in my yard, and my yard was full of sheep. And I just went over there to the man's house, and I drove across the street, and I blowed my horn. He come out, and he said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Your sheep's all out in the road and all out in my yard." And the man, all he did, he made a sound that just kind of sounded strange-like. And when he made that sound, the sheep, they all went running toward him. And he just started to walking toward the barn. And the sheep, every one of them followed him. I started backing out of his driveway, and I had to stop and wait till the sheep got around me, got over back past me. And the next day or two, he was gone from his home. I looked out in the yard, and the yard was full of sheep, and his wife and a cop was out there. They were trying to drive the sheep, and the sheep were just running everywhere. They couldn't even get them to go nowhere. But praise God, I think that man, the sheep knowed his voice, and when he called that sound out to him, the sheep went running to him. My friend, that's the way it is with Jesus. He knows each one of us, and he knows us by our names. He called us, and we're supposed to go to him. We're supposed to follow him. If we don't follow him, there's something wrong. But praise God, we can look to the author and the finisher of our faith. We can follow Jesus. That's what he's telling us. Let's look into verse 5. It says, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." See, that's what that cop there that day and that man's wife, their voices, they were strangers. The sheep wouldn't follow. But my friend, I'm telling you tonight, if you hear the voice of God, you better follow him. If you hear the voice of God calling on you, you better say, "Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my trespasses." The Lord is calling, my friend, to you. He's wanting to make you one of his sheep, and he will make you the sheep of the sheepfold if you will only let him, if you will only open up your heart. I believe in Revelation over there. I forget the chapter and verse, but he said that he would sit before you an open door, and no man can close it. And he'll sit before you. He'll shut a door, and no man can open it, because he has a little strength. My friend, I'm telling you here tonight, what God is knocking on your door, and he's calling on to you. You better heed to that call. You better answer that call, because you never know. Time is running out, and whenever it's closed, and he closes that door, it'll be just like it was in Noah, time there, whenever they entered into the ark, and whenever God closed the door, nobody could enter into it, because God had done had everything to enter into it, and done had Noah and his three sons and their wives entered into it, and when the flood came, he destroyed them. My friend, I'm telling you tonight, he's not going to destroy this world no more by water, but he is going to destroy it by fire and by brimstone. And if you're not in the ark of safety, if you've not got into the flood or got in his arms, my friend, you'll not make heaven. And I tell you, it's a time that you need to realize that you need to heed to the call of God and take heed that He is calling you. He's calling your name tonight, my friend. He's calling you to repent of your sins. And He, whenever you repent, there won't be nobody I'll be able to pluck you out of His hands because He loved you enough that He written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and He'll not lose you, and you'll not be lost as long as you endure, as long as you walk uprightly before Him, as long as you follow Him as He called you. My friend, you can be a sheep of that fold. I beg you tonight to turn your life over to the Lord. Don't wait till it's too late, because when it's too late, it'll be too late. There'll not be nothing but a lake of fire for you to destination in. That will be the place where that you will go to spend throughout eternity, and it'll be forever and ever, my friends, the same as it is. If you'll accept the Lord as your Savior, it'll be forever and ever in heaven with the great praises of God, and just worship the Lord in spirit and truth. I'll tell you what, it's going to be a time and a time, my friend, when we get there. I will be able to rejoice throughout eternity with the Lord. I just want you to go tonight. I want you to repent of your sins and take heed to this message that's been preached here tonight across these radio waves, my friend, that people will heed and take a hold and follow Jesus, because if you don't, it'll be too late. Praise God. I praise God for another opportunity tonight just to lift up the name of Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so that's what we're trying to do, is lift up the name of Jesus tonight. So God bless you, and to hear us again. We're on here on Tuesday nights from 6 until 8 on Blog Talk Radio. So tune in and listen to us, and God bless you. Appreciate it, Sister Green, Brother Green.
Praise God. We appreciate you all, too. That was a good word there from Pastor John and Evangelist Brother Yearwood, and great singing by Brother Timothy. And we just are here to obey God, and there's several, lots of prayer requests coming in. Elizabeth Arvin, she says, Evangelist Tim Hall, he has been on here with us before. Brother Tim Hall has a four-week-old grandson, just had surgery to remove a tumor that was pressing on his cranium. They got it all, but won't have the test results till next week. So there's another baby with a brain tumor. And so remember little Will in your prayers, and remember Brother Tim Hall's little four-week-old grandson. I tell you, the devil's mad. He is trying to take out these children, these babies, because God's got a mighty army. Brother John, as he was talking, as he was preaching tonight to you, he said God will have a number of people that will serve Him. And you know, I got news. I'm going to serve notice on the devil right now. The devil may think that he's going to try to hurt and take out these little babies and these little young ones, but you know, these children, until they're to the age of accountability, they're going to be with our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whether they be healed on this side of life or whether they be healed on the other side of life, they are going to get their miracle. Praise
Amen.
God. Hallelujah. God is good. And I tell
Amen.
You, those families, if I tell you, if the parents or the grandparents or if any of the family is not serving God, God is shaking people. God is allowing His hand of protection for some reason to come to draw back. And these children are being afflicted and stuff, trying to, God is wanting to get attention. God didn't cause cancer. God didn't put tumors on people. And God ain't took out young, old babies or none of that. That's an affliction. Death is of the devil. But
Amen.
We die out to sin. That's the only death that us as Christians is going to have to face. And these babies, if they cross over Jordan, and they will make heaven their home. Praise the Lord. I thank God. I feel a stirring in my spirit right now. If you all, let's pray again. Let's pray for these children.
Yes.
These babies, lift up Will in your prayer, and lift up Brother Tim Hall's grandson and all the prayer requests. Brother Josh Moore just messaged us back and said results. Doctor came in. He's there at the ER. He just told us a while ago. And the test results, the x-ray was negative. So praise God on that. So let's pray again. We can't pray enough. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Lord, in the name of Jesus,
God,
Lord, we ask you, God, to touch Will, God, right there on that ventilator in that children's hospital in Dayton, Ohio. Lord, you see the speed in two. God, he's not eating in 3 days, God. Lord, you be all the glorious. Your word said the doctors have done all they can do. Now, God, it's your turn, hallelujah, to step in. And Lord, we believe in a miracle for him, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I praise you, Lord. Lord, if the parents are not saved, God, we ask that you save us,
Father, Lord, we take authority over
the name of Jesus.
Lord, we just touch the hem of your garment, right?
Praise God. Lord.
Lord, on these
God, to you,
have
God,
God
of
glory,
Lord, where the doctors can't do nothing, Lord, you can do it, Lord. Lord,
Jesus,
holy
name.
Have mercy, Lord.
Father God,
in the name of
not
Jesus,
saved, Lord,
I praise you, Lord, all of our souls.
Lord, we
touch Brother Tim Hall's 4 week old grandson, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let them test results, dear God, be negative, Lord. Let us come back with a good report, Lord. We believe in the report of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. All these prayer requests tonight, all them with cancer that Sister Betty had turned in prayer requests, God. Lord Jesus, Brother John's prayer requests, Lord, you know all about them. Sister Gladys Dittmer's prayer requests, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Zachary Bragg, dear Lord. God, you just showed him a miracle in his own family and his own life, Lord. And God, he sees that you're a miracle working God. And Lord, begin, Lord Jesus, you've already started to increase the faith in Zach Bragg, Lord. And he's young, maybe 17, I'm thinking, years old, Lord. Lord, and you're showing him that you're real. And Lord, begin to build his faith, God. In the name of Jesus, when his brother could have went to prison for many, many years, Lord God, you set him free. In the name of Jesus, God, we give you all the glory for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. Would Brother Timothy have another song, Brother Yearwood?
Yeah, he's got another one.
Praise the Lord. Tell him to go ahead and obey God.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, he's almost. Oh, he's almost.
When morning comes and burdens seem hard to bear, and I wonder, doesn't one really care? When it seems life is hopeless and everything goes wrong, I look around and count my blessings, and the morning doesn't seem so long. When I start my day with you, Lord, there's nothing I can do. Although sometimes there seems to try to bring me down, and when I go to you in prayer, I know you'll meet me there. And when I take the time to pray, you and I can conquer whatever comes my way. When I start my day with you, when I take the time to pray and start my day with you, when I go to you in prayer, I know you'll meet me there. I can make it through the day when I take the time to pray and start.
Praise God. That was a great song, Brother Timothy. Both of those songs were really good, and we appreciate you, and we appreciate the anointing the Lord has given you to sing those songs, and praise God. And we're going to have, if you want to be a part of this broadcast, we want you to call in at 347-989-8862. Again, it is 347-989-8862. If you have a prayer request, I want you to call in, turn it in, and also if you have a praise report, I want you to call in and give that as well. And but this time we're going to turn it over to Brother Clint Green, Evangelist Clint Green. Hallelujah.
Praise God. It's good to be with you tonight. It's a good thing to be a Christian tonight. If you're a Christian, you're in the Father's hands. And you're in the palm of his hand. Is Sister Rachel, my daughter, she read earlier there in John chapter 10. It says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hands, out of my hand. I and my Father are one." So you see, tonight, Jesus and the Father are one tonight, and they were one with the Holy Ghost. These three are one, the Bible said in 1 John 5, I think it's 7 and 8, it says, "And these three are one." And so they make up the Godhead. Praise God. That's what everything revolves around is God. And God is in the Father, he's in the Son, and he's in the Holy Ghost. And if we're born again tonight, he's given us of his Spirit. We have the Spirit of his Son, Christ Jesus, that is sent forth into our hearts. And it makes us a child of God. And we're either in Christ or we're not. We're either born again or we're lost. We're either lost or found. And to be found, we have to be found in Christ. And when it's all said and done and the books and everything is opened in the end, the books will be opened, and whosoever's name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, well, they'll be lost. And I forget which one of the preachers tonight talked a little bit about Moses and how that God was going to blot them out of the book of life. He was going to blot the children of Israel out because of their sin. And Moses said, "If you're going to blot them out, blot me out." And Moses interceded for the children of Israel. And God hearkened unto Moses. And Moses was a type of Christ, and Christ has interceded for you and I. And the Bible said over in John chapter 17 that we're in Christ, that we're, let me turn over there to John chapter 17. And first of all, you know, we're talking about no man is able to pluck you out of the Father's hand. No man is able to pluck you out of Jesus' hand. And he's the great shepherd of the sheep. And he came down here to build the church. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he said, upon this rock I'll build it. And he asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say Elias, some say one of the prophets, some said John the Baptist. And he looked at Peter, and he said, who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. And he went on to say that the Father in heaven had revealed this unto Peter. And he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And he was talking about, he wasn't talking about Peter. He was talking about the revelation that Peter had. Peter came to the realization that Jesus was the Son of God. He was the one that was sent down here to die for our sins. Even though Peter did not understand that Christ was going to the cross. In fact, he tried to talk him out of it. He said, oh, let it be far from you, Lord, or don't let this happen. And Jesus rebuked him and said, get behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. So, you know, we think on different levels, a lot of us do. If we're not born again, we're thinking on a natural level, and we're just thinking on what we can get in this life. But if we're born again, we're thinking on making it to the next life, and we're thinking on the judgment coming. We're thinking on the fact that we got to get our heart right with the Lord, or we ain't going to make it. And that stands for anybody tonight, whether they call themselves a Christian, or whether they go to church, or whether they're a pastor or evangelist or a Sunday school teacher or board member or whatever they might be. If they got sin in their life and they're committing sin, then they're going to come up short. We think about how God told Belshazzar there when he threw the big party, and the handwriting came out on the wall and said they called for Daniel. Daniel came and read the writing, and no man could read it, but it was a writing sent from God. And he said, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. So he went on to tell Belshazzar, said, you know that your father knew that there was a God in heaven, that there was a God that could answer. He brought the three Hebrew children out of that fiery furnace, the God that Daniel served. And that God was the only God that could deliver after this sort, is what Nebuchadnezzar said. And he said, if anybody talks against this God, he said, he's going to be in big trouble. And I'm going to... he told them what he would do to them, and you'd have to read that in the book of Daniel. But the fact is, he told Belshazzar, he said, you knowed all about this. You heard about this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You heard about the God of Hebrew children. And you heard what he done, and you heard all the miracles, and you saw the fourth man, or you heard him talk about the fourth man in the fire. He said, did not we cast three in, but said there's four, and they're loose, walking around in the midst of the fire. And I'll tell you, you don't forget something like that very easy. I remember my dad down there at the Hiawassee Church of God, when he was a teenager, said that They had an old potbelly stove, and they had the thing red hot that night. And them teenage boys were sitting back there by that red hot stove, and Dad said it was so hot that you'd have to keep pulling your paint legs out to keep from burning your legs. It was just about to catch their clothes on fire. And they were sitting a little distance from it. Some man started testifying up in the front of the church and said he took his coat off. Dad said it was cold up in the front of the church because it was an old log church. And it was windy and cold that night. He said it was one of the coldest nights of the winter. And he said him and them other teenage boys were sitting there watching. And this man got up on the back of that, jumped up on the back of them seats and started testifying. And he come back through there on the back of them seats, walking on the back of them seats, and had his hand up in the air and was thanking God and going right back through there. And Dad said the church started shouting. And that man come back there and jumped off the back of that pew, jumped up and sat down on that potbelly stove and put his arm around that red-hot stovepipe and laid his neck over on that stovepipe. Dad said he was a-hugging that stovepipe just like he was in love with that stovepipe. And he said, well, you know what I mean. He was a-holding on to that stovepipe. And Dad said, we sat there and watched it. Said that man turned loose. He said he held on for a pretty good while, and he turned loose, and he fell right out in the floor right in front of him. Dad said he had a white shirt on, long sleeve shirt, and he said I looked him over good and said that man wasn't even swinged. That shirt wasn't swinged, and there was no marks on that man. I tell you, God's still God. He's still a miracle worker. He's still a problem solver tonight. He can do what no other power can do. And we can't give up on God because God won't give up on us. If we'll put our trust in him and we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. The Bible said we can be saved. He said, thou shalt be saved. Praise God. If we'll live right. We won't have to worry about losing out with God. We won't have to worry about somebody trying to pluck us out of the Father's hand because there's no man able to do that tonight. There's none outside of the fact unless you be drawn away of your own lust and enticed and unless Amen. You be tempted and you fall to that temptation, there's nothing that can take you out of the hand of God. The Bible said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, persecution, all these things, shall they separate us? No, they can't separate us. He said, angels or principalities or powers or nothing can separate us. You know, Eve wouldn't have been separated from God if she hadn't listened to the devil, but she listened to the devil. She looked at that tree. She listened to that serpent. She looked at that tree and looked at that fruit, and she partook of that fruit. And when she did, I'll tell you, when she sinned against God, it was her downfall. Things was going to come Amen. Her way. There was going to be a reward, a recompense for the sin that she committed. And I tell you tonight, in Radio Land tonight, if you are thinking about sinning against God, if you're a Christian, I tell you better not sin against God. You better keep your life hid in Christ. You better stay under the shadow of the Almighty tonight because there's an enemy out there called the devil. He's going to and fro, and he's seeking whom he may devour. And he is not weak, and he's not toothless. I've heard preachers say that. You might have said it yourself. Don't want to offend nobody. I might have said it myself, but I'll tell you the truth tonight. He's got power, and I'll tell you there's only one power greater than his, and that's God's power. And if we ain't in God's hand, we're going to be in a sad situation on the getting up morning when God blows that trumpet, when the trump of God shall sound and the dead shall rise. Well, we ain't going nowhere if we're not in that first resurrection. We've got to keep our life hid in Christ from the things of this world and not love the world and the things that are in the world. He said, if any man love the world, and I'm talking about staying in Christ tonight. I'm talking about staying in the Father's hands. Praise God. And I want to be in the Father's hands. I don't want to be in the hands of a thief and a tyrant and a murderer, and that's what the devil is tonight. He's a thief.
Amen.
Jesus said there in John chapter 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy, but I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So I'm glad tonight I have that abundant life, and I plan tonight on keeping that. I plan on keeping what I got from the Lord, and that was eternal life, the day that I repented and the day that I said yes to Jesus. I turned my life over to him. I turned my back on sin, and I left the parties I used to go to, and I never went back. And I left that that way of living that I had been living before when I was walking contrary to the Lord's will, but I was walking according to the course of this world. But I'm not walking that way anymore, thank God, because Jesus liberated me from that slavery that the devil had me in. Now, I tell you, you don't have to be a slave tonight to the devil. Praise God. But I tell you, you must be born again to get into the hands of God. That's where we want to be tonight, in the hands of God. And we're there if we've made preparation, you know, for our mansion in the sky. If we come down and we've repented and we come clean with God, we laid aside the sin and the weights. The Bible said to lay them aside, the weights that so easily beset you, and run with patience that race set before you. Looking tonight unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and he endured the cross, the Bible said. He endured the cross, despising the shame, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much more than angels. He had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son. Well, praise the Lord. I'm getting over into Hebrews there, but let me slow down a minute here and reason with you a little bit here in the Scripture. 1 John 2, the Bible tells us, we talked about last week, to love not the world and the things in the world. And we talked about there's a natural man and there's a spiritual man, and the spiritual man's walking after the things of God, and there's therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Over there in Romans talks about that. And if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, the Bible said he is none of his. But I want to get on here talking about Eve, and I talked about her last week. She looked and she lusted and she partook of that fruit. And she first listened. She first listened to the devil. And, you know, the devil started to smooth-talking her and telling her how good this tree was and the fruit on it and make her wise, and they would be as gods. And he was a professional liar is what he was. And I wouldn't recommend that you go down that road and try to follow him, because it's a dead-end road. But Eve looked and lusted and partook. And over here in the book of James, in chapter 1, it says here in the 12th verse, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The Bible said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now, to endure something means to me that it's not just like one time, but the devil comes back again and again and again, and he's going to try you. He's going to try to see if the stand you made for Christ is going to last. He's going to try to entice you and turn you around. And he's going to put the pressure on you, and that's what he does. But we don't have to fall prey to the devil. In the 13th verse, it says here, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." And that's exactly what happened to Eve. She was drawn away of her own lust and enticed. Because the Bible said the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So she was in a worldly, what would I say? You know, she was worldly. She was a natural woman, and she looked at natural things, and that's basically what she saw. But we're looking at heavenly things. We're looking at things which are invisible tonight. If all we could see was what's around us, we would have no faith probably, or else we'd have very little faith in God. We would believe, you know, that doctors can heal everything pretty much, but we see that they can't. And the lawyer can take care of our problems, or the banker, but it ain't that way. They can't fix all our problems. And we need God on our side. We need him as our blesser. And just like Nebuchadnezzar believed in God, finally, after he went through a whole lot, he finally believed in God. But don't wait till you go through a whole lot. Just come on over on the Lord's side, because that is the winning side. And this is the way to prosper in the Lord. You cannot prosper if you're out there drinking and doing gambling and all this kind of stuff and cursing God. And, you know, you're not going to prosper. If I'm talking to anybody tonight out there, I love you. God loves you. He really loves you more than what we can love you. And Jesus loved you so much, he died on that cross to pay for your sins. And if you do not make it to heaven, you'll have nobody to blame but yourself. There'll be nobody you can point your finger to at and say, "Well, I seen that he was sinning, or he done something, and he said he was Christian, and he done something wrong." Well, maybe he did. Maybe he did do something wrong, but maybe he made it right. Maybe he got down and prayed. Maybe he cried. Maybe he sought God, and he got things corrected, and he's back on the road to heaven. And he's running up the King's Highway on the way to that glorious city. And all the time you're pointing fingers and saying, "Ah, he ain't going to make it, that old hypocrite. I know what he done." Well, you know, David was a man after God's own heart, and I find in the Bible that he done some things that he shouldn't have done, and it displeased the Lord. And it displeased the Lord so much, he sent a prophet to him and said, "David," basically said, you're the man that done this evil deed." And he put forth more or less a parable to him and said, well, it's in the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel. You can find it there, where David walked upon his house top and looked and saw that woman bathing, and her name was Bathsheba, I believe was the name of her, and her husband's name was Uriah, and he was in the battle, and David was home because he was getting older, and he was maybe he was sick, I don't know exactly. And he rose from his bed and went up on his housetop there, looked over and seen that beautiful woman. Well, he lusted. He looked and he lusted, and then he inquired about who was she. Well, he found out that woman belonged to Uriah. And Uriah was a godly man, and he was out there fighting the battles of the Lord and on the battlefield. And David had her brought to his house, and Well, you know the rest of the story probably if you've read the Bible much at all, but you can find that in Samuel chapter 11. And God was angry at David because he had put Uriah in the forefront of the battle and had him killed. They put him up there knowing that pretty much that he was going to get killed, and sure enough he did. And God was angry. And I'll tell you, God repaid David, although David, I believe he made it. I believe he made it. He repented. The Bible says there in the 51st Psalm, I've got that marked here if I can turn to it. In the 51st Psalm, David was praying a prayer there of repentance. And he was talking to the Lord about some things. And it could have been that very thing, no doubt, that he was talking about, because we don't find that David was a sinful man in other ways, but he really messed up this time. He messed up big, and, you know, even though he messed up big, he didn't leave God. He didn't run off and say, well, I'm never going to serve God again because, you know, God could have kept me from sinning. Well, God won't keep you from sinning. That's your responsibility. God gives you your free choice who you're going to serve today, who you're going to serve tomorrow or the next day. Well, God is allowing people to do what they want and to choose what they want. You know, God could come down here and shut all the beer joints down. He could stop all the gambling rings and all of this. He could do that. But he's not doing it right now because he's giving people a chance to repent. And the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. But there was a day when God shut the door. One of the preachers tonight preached on that. But God did shut the door, and he'll shut the door on you as an individual. If you keep transgressing against God, and I hope you're not, but I'm warning you tonight. I'm giving you warning. Because we go back into the Bible, we find out. You know, there's a lot of people tonight that's been trained right. They've been brought up in the house of God. They was brought up as children in God's house. And they're out there running wild. And they're out there doing things that God is not pleased with. And one day, God came down there at Belshazzar's house. And that finger wrote on the plaster over against the wall. And I tell you, it was over. It was all over. He had done went too far. He had crossed the line. There was no return. I hope nobody's under the sound of my voice tonight that's gone too far. But I'm pleading with you tonight. Don't go too far. I'm pleading with you tonight to get back in the Father's hand if you got out. Because no man's able to take you out. But you can take yourself out. Adam and Eve was in that garden and had everything they needed. You might say they had eternal life, and they did. They could live forever, never die. But sin changed all of that when they broke the law of God. When they crossed over the line, I tell you, don't cross over the line tonight. Stay in the Lord's army. Stay in the hands of the Lord. And David, he began to pray. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. I tell you tonight, if you don't get your transgressions blotted out, then one day you'll get blotted out, because sin will not go to heaven. There'll be no sin there. He said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. You see, he was repenting of the sins that he'd committed. And he was calling on God for help, and he was calling on him to cleanse him. And let me go on here. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. See, he wanted to be clear when he was judged, and he wanted to be able to speak upright before God and come to him boldly. Like the Bible said, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may find help in the time of trouble. That's what David did. Behold, thou desirest truth in inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Now, he didn't have literal broken bones. He was broken in his spirit. He was crushed, and he was oppressed. He was feeling miserable and sorry for his sins. And how was he going to correct it? How was he ever going to get it right? It looked like it was too much almost, but he didn't give up on God. He didn't quit serving God because he failed. And he says here in verse 9, this is Psalms 51:9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You can't have no joy, friend, if you're out there sinning. If you're a Christian and you're out there sinning, you can be going to the house of God, and you can be going through all the motions, and you can be raising your hands and praising God and worshiping, and maybe that's the best you can do. I don't know. But the thing about it is, you ain't going to have no joy. If you're going to get any joy, you're going to have to come clean with God. You're going to have to lay aside the sin. And I'm not trying to be mean. That's just what the Bible says. And if you want to stay in the hands of God, you're going to have to live a holy life. And if you're going to stay in the Lord's army, you're going to have to keep your armor on. You're going to have to keep the weapons of your warfare are going to have to be being used. You can't lay your armor down and say, well, I'll just lay my salvation down and I'll leave it for a little while, and I got to take care of this problem, and I got to go over here and straighten this guy out or something like that. Well, you might lay it down and you might never pick it up again. You might get out there so far that you can't come back to God, and I wouldn't want you to get in that far country. But I find in the Bible that some people did. I find that Jesus talked about people that got into that place. Thank God the one man made his way back. But how many got out there and never came back, I wonder. But anyhow, let me go on here and look at something else. In Luke chapter 13, let me turn to chapter 10, first of all. I believe it's chapter 10. No, it's chapter 11. Chapter 11 and verse 17. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. But if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. And he talks about a strong man. He says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. And I want to tell you tonight, you're no match for the devil. You're no match for the devil if you ain't got God's armor. Yeah. If you ain't clothed in the armor of God, you are no match for the devil. And I tell you, if you're a born-again Christian, and you're washed in the blood, and you're in right standing with God, I'll tell you, the devil can't do much with you. He'll tempt you, and he'll try to entice you and try to lure you away from what you've got. But you got to stay on the Lord's side. You've got not to cross the line, but you got to stay in the Lord's, in the green pastures of the Lord. Stay where God can keep you safe. And he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. He said, he that is not with me is against me. If you're not with the Lord, if you're not working for the Lord, if you're not believing in Christ and living a Christian life, then you're really not. You may have a Lord salvation, but you got to get it down in your heart. You got to get the Spirit of the Lord in you. And when he comes in, he will change you. He will make a difference in you. And you will know that you've been changed, and you will feel his Spirit, and you will feel his love. And, you know, you may not feel his love all the time, but there's going to be times you're going to feel the Spirit of God come on you or working in you, and you'll have compassion for people. Now, let's go on a little farther. And when he cometh, let's see. All right, let's go back up here now. It says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Now let's go on. It says, he taketh from him all his armor when he trusted and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me is scattered. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house which came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven more other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now I want to tell you, you can get out of the Father's hand tonight. And this scripture here tells us that you can. But, you know, the devil can't just come in your house when Jesus is in your house.
Amen.
The devil can't come in and take you over.
Amen.
But if you let Jesus, if he leaves your house because you're sinning, then you're open to the devil. And that unclean spirit can come back and enter into that man, bring with him more spirits more wicked than himself, and the last state of that man's going to be worse than the first. But we don't want that to happen to you, and that's why we're preaching tonight about staying in the Father's hand. You see, eternal life is eternal. There's no question about that. Some people will say, well, if you got eternal life, you can't lose it. Well, yes, you can lose it. Eternal life is in Jesus. Eternal life is in him. That's the only place that the Bible tells us that eternal life is found. It's not found anywhere but in Jesus. And I want to turn with you tonight. I want to turn to John, 1 John chapter 5. And I want you to look at verses 11 and 12. And it says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. So what I'm telling you tonight is, you must abide in him. You must abide in Christ. And that's what John chapter 10 is talking about. Abiding in the Lord. Following the shepherd. The sheep follow the shepherd. And then in 15th chapter of John, it talks about the vine. And, well, I'll turn it back over to Sister. Let me read a couple more scriptures. I'll turn it back to Sister Joanna. He that hath the Son hath life. Now, that's what it says. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So it all hinges on, do you have the Son? Do you have Jesus? Well, the only way you can have Jesus is have the Spirit of Christ in you. And that's the only way you can have eternal life. There is no eternal life outside of that. It's not a question whether the life is eternal. We know that we have eternal life if we abide in him. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now in the 20th verse of chapter 5, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. In other words, to have God, you have to have Jesus. You can't get around it. You can be some other religion and think that you got God, but according to the word that we preach, according to the King James Version Bible, and according to the Old Testament, the Hebrew writings, and according to that, you see it all blends together, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that's the only two testaments they are, the two covenants, the old and the new. And God bears witness with both, and backwards and forth. You can find both testaments in each one in different places. And it's a great thing to know that you have the Son of God. And we know that the Son of God has come. See, he came, he died on a cross, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So I'm going to turn it back to Sister Joanna, but I want to encourage you to get in Christ, stay in Christ, and don't let the devil get you out of Christ's hand.
Praise God. I'm going to say just a little bit here, then we're going to have Brother Timothy take us out with a song. Thank you guys for calling in. Thank you. You're a great help to us. And we just love you all just very, so very much. And we won't get to talk again. I guess we will get to talk again on Brother Yearwood's broadcast if you'd like to be part of that. That's on Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's Reaching the World for Christ Around the World, blogtalkradio.com, Reaching the World for Christ. So join in with Brother Yearwood at 6 o'clock on p.m. Eastern Time. I was thinking about in Matthew chapter 7, I won't be long, it goes right along with Brother Green, what he was talking about. It says, verse 21, Matthew 7 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Praise the Lord. You know, here, these folks, in order to have that power, they must have known God at one time, and they had got out of the will of God. But we know that God's callings, his gifts, are without repentance. So God's word won't return void. He can use a donkey. He can use the chicken that crowed three times when Peter denied the Lord. God can use a fish that have a coin in its mouth. God can use things. God can use even sinner folk, the country songs. I'm not encouraging and that you go listen to country music, but I remember when I was out in the world and somebody country and worldly would be singing a song about the Lord and conviction would come down upon me. There was a man that we met in the nursing home when we had a nursing home ministry. And he was sitting on a pool hall bar stool, and he heard church bells chiming at noontime and said the conviction of God came down upon him. And am I right, Brother Green? Yep. And said that he had given his heart to the Lord because he was sitting there and the Spirit of God drew him. You know, God can use anything he wants to draw you by his Spirit. And that's just the thing is, you know, in the book of Jude, it talks about they were clouds without water. They were twice dead, plucked up by the root. They were basically, they were, I believe that those were probably ministers that had backslid on the Lord. And just because they were clouds and they didn't have any water. They were twice dead, plucked up by the root. I'm afraid to say, but that's where some folks are walking today. They're walking way far, far from God. And he said this is a straight and this is a narrow way. And that the broad is the way to destruction. So the Bible talks about how we know them by the fruit that they bear. We know them. When they're cussing big bad words, he said to let your conversation be holy. We're not to claim that we're Christian and then, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I'm just kind of elaborate on what Brother Green was talking about. If you're going around professing that you're a Christian, then you must live and shine your light and be a witness. He gave us the Holy Ghost, so we could get the baptism of the Holy Ghost to have power to be a witness. And we're to shine that light, and we're to be Christ-like. That's what Christian means. So you can backslide. Only you can take yourself out of the hand of God. But if you're walking upright, you're talking right, you're walking right, and you're not doing anything to displease God, and you're asking the Lord, Paul said, I carry my cross daily. I take up my cross daily. That means you check yourself. Look in the mirror. What's looking in the mirror mean? Look in the Word of God. That's a reflection of how us Christians are supposed to be. And it's a true walk, folks. And I tell you, God will give you gifts. He'll give you dreams. And read Acts chapter 2, all the promises. That the prophet Joel spoke about. It's to your children, your children's children, and as many as afar off, and we are them from the day of Pentecost to now. We are them that as many as afar off. Praise the Lord. God is real good. Brother Timothy, if he would, Brother Yearwood, have him come in and give us that song, and we'll see you all next Friday, same time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Praise God.
All right, Reaching the World for Christ is Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. They're going to be speaking on spiritual growth, and it's at blogtalkradio.com/RTWFC Bible Talk.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus is calling to you. Jesus is calling to you. Hear now his voice, make him your choice. Jesus is calling to you. Bring your cares to him now. At his feet only bow. He'll give you Jesus is calling to you. Jesus is calling to you. Jesus is calling to you. Hear now his voice, make him your choice. Jesus is calling to you. Troubled within, you can find peace in him. He offers love that's true. Jesus is calling to you. Jesus is calling to you. Jesus is calling. Hear now his voice, make him your choice. Jesus is calling to you.
Praise God. Brother John, you want to tell us where your church is, brother?
Yes, it's 114 East Main Street in Thomaston, Georgia. We have service at 2 p.m. on Sunday afternoon and 6 p.m. on Wednesday night. And come be with us if you're in the area. We just want to wish to lift him up, and we just appreciate the opportunity to be with each and every one of you.
Praise the Lord. We enjoy every one of you all. Thank you all for your help, and we will see you again next Friday. God bless. Remember little Will in your prayers.
Amen. God bless.
God bless.